Today on Straight Talk Africa, Against All Odds, a book written by Cameroonian-born lawyer Angela Kwemo. It's the captivating story of one woman's journey to pursue her passion and aspirations against all odds. Its goal is to inspire and motivate Africa's youth to be the best role models they can be for their communities, nation, and the continent. Before he died, New Jersey Congressman Donald Payne told her, "Don't ever forget where you are coming from. The continent suffers so many challenges. Never stop advocating for people, no matter what." That's coming up next, right here on Straight Talk Africa. Hello, welcome to Straight Talk Africa, live from the Voice of America studios here in Washington. I am Shaka Sali.
Hello to all our viewers and listeners on the continent and elsewhere. I'm Ayan Bior, your social media reporter.
Today is the significance of Against All Odds, How to Stay on Top of the Game, an inspiring and motivating book to the African youth.
And coming up later, our audience has weighed in on our topic through emails, Facebook, and Twitter comments. And we'll reveal some of them ahead on Straight Talk Africa.
And today we have two reports for you. First, my colleague Paul Ndiho tells us about Pamela Anchang, an African-born woman in Los Angeles who is fighting for America's vast immigrant population.
I am an immigrant from southern Cameroon, somewhere in central West Africa. And I'm standing here with my brothers and sisters who are all immigrants to say we are not criminals.
Pamela Anchang came to the United States from Cameroon nearly 20 years ago with the dream to earn a living and do better for herself. Today, she's become an icon in LA, California, as a publisher of the Immigrant magazine, immigration activist, and an outspoken critic of U.S. President Donald Trump's signature campaign promise to crack down on illegal immigration.
And now we have a leadership, we have an administration that seems to forget that and wants to penalize immigrants. Now, I'm not advocating illegal immigration. However, I think that we should have a comprehensive immigration reform that will legalize everybody.
Ms. Anchang is the editor of the Immigrant magazine, a 1,000 California-based news and features website that prides itself as the voice of the immigrants in America.
Immigrant Magazine was born. I decided that it would be a platform that would be a voice for all immigrants.
She has become the voice of the voiceless and made friends across the diverse spectrum of immigrant communities in the Los Angeles area.
You can change that, Donald Trump. You can give us a seat at the table and hear our stories. What do you think, ladies and gentlemen? He can hear
I am an American. I'm a naturalized citizen, but I cannot sit and be quiet when I know that the difference between someone who's undocumented and someone who's illegal is just a matter of that paper. But you know what? The intention and the reason why we are all here remains the same.
By becoming more involved in the anti-immigration campaign, naturalized citizens like Pamela play a greater role in determining the fate of issues that impact other immigrants.
At the time when I started, the conversation about immigration was not strong. The voice wasn't strong as it is today. Now more than ever, we see the value of that immigrant story, that immigrant experience, that advocacy. Immigrants are feeling that this is a land of opportunity. Okay, and now we have a president who seems to forget that this country's foundation was immigrants.
Over the years, the magazine has adopted a more political tone as Anchang uses it as a platform to call for an overhaul of the country's immigration laws and a path to citizenship for the millions of immigrants here without permission.
My vision and my duty is to speak up on their behalf.
Paul Ndiho, VOA News, Washington.
Now we have our own Paul Sisko introducing us to Cameroonian-born Angela Kwemo, the author of Against All Odds.
Against All Odds is supposed to be Angela Cuomo's story, the captivating account of one woman's determination to pursue her dreams. Its subtitle is How to Stay on Top of the Game. The guide is a revealing and inspiring self-help story written by lawyer, writer, and activist Angela Cuomo. It's for everyone and anyone, particularly the young Africans destined to make Africa great. Her book is filled with quotes and adages that have propelled her along her chosen path in life. It's always impossible until it's done. Nelson Mandela, the Madiba. You know you are on the road to success if you would do your job and not be paid for it. Oprah Winfrey. Cuomo says being on top of your game is being able to overcome life's challenges at every stage of your career, winning the battles of daily life. The game of life she writes about is constant. After graduating from law school, Cuomo worked on Capitol Hill as a legislative assistant for Chicago Congressman Bobby L. Rush. Rush is a civil rights leader who has been serving in Congress for more than two decades. Self-examine your motivation behind each action you take, he says. You are your own judge, the Honorable Bobby L. Rush. He's also an outspoken critic of U.S. President Donald Trump's efforts to scale back President Obama's climate action plan and President Trump's travel ban and refugee proposals.
We just hope that he will be quickly educated on the African issues and that he will just take the issue of the forefront immediately or as soon as possible and not be distracted or completely derailed by the domestic debates. So the only handicap we have, we Africans, is the fact that sometimes we get consumed by internal politics while the continent is waiting.
Knowledge without wisdom is like water in the sand. Guinean proverb. In Against All Odds, Cuomo has these words for those seeking to make the most of their God-given talents. Success is not a destination. It's a journey. So make sure you enjoy the ride, no matter what. Paul Sisko, VOA News, Washington.
Thanks, Paul, for that interesting report. Now joining us here in a Washington studio is Angela Cuomo herself, a Cameroonian-born lawyer and author of Against All Odds, How to Stay on Top of the Game. And Pamela Asobo Anchang, publisher and editor-in-chief, The Immigrant Magazine, Incorporated, who joins us from the VOA Bureau in Los Angeles, California. Well, I have to say, frankly, that you two beautiful ladies, I am profoundly honored and exceedingly humbled to have the opportunity to host you on Straight Talk Africa.
Thank you very much, Sheikha Sally, and thank you very much for having us. Of course, commend Pamela and Sean for her work. This discussion shows what we have in Cameroon. Cameroon produce very nice report, you know, very nice leaders. And as we said back home, impossible n'est pas Camerounais. So we all known for accomplishing great things. And my book, for example, is not my story. It's a story of Pamela Anchan and the many Pamela Anchan that on the street of Los Angeles, Chicago, Dakar, Yaoundé, or Lagos. And then I hope that it will be people will be able to identify themselves with my struggle and learn from my mistakes and the little wisdom that gained from the people that I was blessed to encounter.
Thank you very much. And, of course, thank you very much for joining us, Pamela, in Los Angeles.
Thank you so much, Chaka. It's a pleasure. And, Angel, I'm so proud of you because your story is really the universal story. And for us, especially growing up as young African girls, we experience very similar things. And you come from a community that tells you you can do certain things. And you and I have chosen to defy those odds. So hopefully today we will inspire many young women and young men who are tomorrow's future. So this is really a thrill.
Thank you very much. Later in the program, we'll give you, the audience, a chance to call and talk with our guests. The number to call is 202-619-3111. The U.S. country code is 1. Well, let me come back to you, Angela. It seems to me that you probably pretty much said what I probably expected you to say when I asked you the first question, frankly, which would have been, what inspired you really to write this book?
Actually, it was two things. As I said in the book, when I was addressing the young students In Florida, it was the annual convention of African Association of Students. I was prepared to talk about policy and to talk about African diaspora legislation and things like that. And when I got there, I realized that I didn't have 10 minutes. They gave me 45 minutes. And it was at 7 o'clock, and that was the keynote. And I was not, it was, I think maybe the first time I was really delivering remarks in front of a group loud more than 200 people. So we have maybe 450 students. And I thought to myself, okay, what am I going to tell them? So when I went on stage, I didn't have, even have the podium to put my remark on, so I literally have to preach. And I just say, okay, what am I going to tell them? And I, for a quick moment, I saw myself into their shoes, and I saw myself at university in Rouen, and how I felt when journalists would come and address us and things like that, and what they want to hear. And I started sharing my story. And the more I was talking about it, the more I was identifying myself with my own struggle.
Were you experiencing some butterflies in your stomach?
It's interesting. You know, I'm a Christian. I go to church all the time. I always hear my pastor say, we always need to be ready to preach. I didn't know what he meant. So, and then at that moment, I realized why I was going to church all the time. And I kind of closed my eyes and thought I was a pastor. I saw myself in the church because it was almost the same setting. And then it's like everything just decided to flow. And I just say what I have to say and then share a little piece of myself. So after that, what I was speaking about is discovering myself. I talked about my childhood and everything, and I realized that everything that I've done, all the dreams that I have when I was 7, 12, or 15, led me to where I was today. If I want to be an airline attendant because I want to travel. I want to join the military because I like fighting. I didn't want to be left aside. I want to be a TV anchor.
You wanted to be a TV anchor.
I wanted to be a TV anchor, but my dad, you know, told me I was speaking too fast.
You wanted to be a military officer or something?
Yes, I want to join the military as well because I was surrounded by boys in my neighborhood when I was living, and I thought I would be more equipped to challenge them if I go to the military. So, and then I went to modeling, entertainment, and then I decided to find myself into law school because it was the only way for me to be equipped for war without having to carry a weapon. And then when looking at my profession today, I'm doing a little bit of strategy, a little bit of PR, I'm traveling. It's all these things combined came up to fruition.
I see.
So after that, I took some notes and then I decided to write the book.
Pamela, what about you? In a very, very, very briefly, what inspired you to come up with that magazine once you left the East Coast, where you apparently did some teaching here in the nation's capital?
You know, that's a very good question. Like, Angel, Against All Odds, I like that title so much because it really speaks to me. Like her, I wanted to be so many things. I wanted to be a diplomat. I wanted to be a journalist. I wanted to be a teacher. I wanted to be a translator. I wanted to be a lot of things. But more importantly, I think I always wanted to be an advocate. So when I came to the United States, of course, like you mentioned, I was a teacher, but I wasn't feeling fulfillment. That journalist thing, that speaking up thing, I'm not one to see something and not say something. So I started, you know, doing my little writing about what was going on back home in Africa. But I didn't have a channel here or a place that where I could publish and be heard. And so I decided to, you know, be curious about my life here as an immigrant. And in the course of my research, I found out that my experience was pretty much universal. When I would meet an Asian or a Latino, I found that we had more in common as immigrants. So it became for me the universal immigrant experience. And so I launched Immigrant Magazine, and nobody believed that it would work because everybody thought the word immigrant and immigration, nobody wanted to associate with. And for that reason, I just felt like I was being insulted, and I felt that I was contributing, and I saw what immigrants were doing in this country. And so I said, you know what, I'm going to keep it as Immigrant Magazine, and that someday someone will believe that this name or this word really describes people who are seeking better opportunity and contribute, and that they are not the negative stereotype that it's come to be. So that's really, in a nutshell, what Immigrant Magazine, you know, represents, is the dignity of the immigrant.
Very interesting. Now we'll pause for a short break. But first, we want to remind you that Straight Talk Africa is now streaming on Facebook. Just enter the keyword Straight Talk Africa and watch our show live, and don't forget to share it with your friends. Also, we are on Twitter, and we are tweeting live. Follow us at VOA Shaka, that's VOA Shaka, and join in on today's discussion with your questions and comments. Don't forget to use the hashtag VOA Against the Odds. We'll put some of your tweets on air later in the show, and we'll be back, right back with you. Please, don't go away.
We are able to touch on things that are important to people on an everyday basis. We hope that our viewers are getting inspired when they watch our show. They're getting a view of the world from a different perspective, things that perhaps are not in their immediate vicinity. Today, I could put in on the show something that is a little different, a little unique, and this gives me that inspiration to come to work.
This is Straight Talk Africa on the Voice of America. What is your opinion about today's topic? Call us at 202-619-3111. U.S. country code 1. When you call, remember the following. Ask only one question. Keep your comment brief and turn down the volume on your radio or television. Now let's return to Straight Talk Africa.
Thank you very much, Esther Githui Ewart. And of course, this is Straight Talk Africa, coming to you live from Washington. Now, Pamela, if I may come back to you, what has been the response so far from the audience?
Unbelievable, unbelievable. I started this magazine almost 15 years ago. And I'll tell you what, I would get emails from CEOs of companies who really wanted to tell their immigrant story. And so I realized that when people succeed, when people are accomplished, they want to pull up. And so I would tell these stories of success. And so it's in time, it has taken a different turn because I didn't anticipate the journey. All I knew is I wanted to tell my story, and I wanted to share it with others, and I wanted to share other people's stories to empower people that were just coming to this country and elsewhere, and that they could do for themselves what others have done. And it's just been unbelievable. The response has been very positive. I have not had negative criticism, really. Most times people would tell me, though, I should focus on legal immigration. That's where I had trouble, because I just wanted to chronicle the immigrant experience, regardless of whether it's legal or not legal. So that has been quite an experience, but I will tell you what, it's been overwhelming, and that's why we are, you know, going stronger and stronger by the day.
You know, there is a saying that success is not a destination, but rather, in fact, is a journey. What is your definition of success?
I love that question, Shaka. For me, success is really the experience that you get, is the sense of fulfillment that you get. It's very important that in order to be successful, that you have a sense of purpose. Without purpose, you don't get fulfillment. And I always think that, you know, sometimes you see millionaires, you see people in Hollywood right behind my door, I mean my backyard, basically. And you see they're very successful, but you hear all the time they're on drugs and they're doing all these crazy things. And you say to yourself, if I had all that money, I would not have a reason to do drugs or unhappy for one day in my life. But I'll tell you what, living here in Los Angeles, in the heart of Hollywood, I have seen people who seemingly successful are very unhappy. And I just think that is because there is no sense of purpose. So for me, the journey is, what is the journey toward? What are you walking toward? What is your purpose? What is your ultimate outcome? What are you trying to accomplish? So it's really not about the things that you have. It's really about doing something that you love. What is your gift in life? What is your God-given talent? What is it that you want to do that maybe others don't see? And if you have to spend your life trying to convince people about who you are, then you have a problem. You have to believe in yourself. And that's been my story, is that when nobody believed that Immigrant Magazine would be something someday, I chose a different path. I said, I'm going to do it because I love doing it, regardless of what the outcome would be. I just enjoy the advocacy and sharing those stories. So for me, success is, as you said, a journey and not a destination. Ultimately, you have a goal, you have a vision. But what you really want to do is to feel a sense of fulfillment, living your dream, basically.
Very interesting. Angela, if you talk to an average American, and you probably put the same question to them, the immediate reaction would probably be about deep pockets.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's all about green, the U.S. dollars. No, it's all about the definition of wealth. The same thing, the definition of success. The only commodity that we have as human beings is time. And what you do with your time is what is your wealth.
Mm-hmm.
So if you use your time doing things you're not called to do or doing things that you don't have any pleasure or any particular fulfillment to do, you can't build wealth because the wealth is not quantified by U.S. by dollars. If that was the case, you know, the billionaires would not be taking medication all the time. When I went to Saudi Arabia a few years ago, somebody told me that right after the crisis, the biggest sell in the pharmaceutical industry was antidepressant.
Mm-hmm.
So they are very rich, but they're using taking pills to sleep, pills right. to wake up, pills to be happy, and pills to. So it's all about what you're doing. It's the same thing, like, you know, like Pamela was saying, that you once you feel a great deep sense of a deep envy to pursue something, especially what you are thinking about doing. When your vision is above your ability, it means it's your calling, because nature itself hates comfort zone. Nature itself hates stagnation. You have to constantly be in movement. Even the planet is moving constantly, maybe slowly, but you only constantly have to be moving. So when your ability, your vision is above your ability, it means your calling. That means you have to pursue it. It always comes with a lot of challenges. Same thing. If you want to have honey, you need to challenge the bees. You cannot pretend you want to go to a premised land and you run away from challenges. So I was even telling my friends or even my mentee most of the time that I look for opportunities, I look for troubles that will go and fix. So that's what makes me, not makes me happy, but that's what keeps me moving.
Mm.
And that's what fuels your ability to embark into your journey.
So what about this book, Against All Odds? To what extent has it in fact been successful? And I'm talking about what is the reaction so far?
The reaction is very positive, and the goal was not to sell, because I give the book all the time. But my little fulfillment, my little happiness, when I talk to ladies like Pamela and Chong right now, when she tell her story, for me it's reinforced my writing, because she can identify what she says, what is in the book.
Mm-hmm.
You can just replace the name and it will be the same thing. But unfortunately, sometimes we all need to share a little piece of ourselves with our youngsters to reassure them and let them know, hey, your dream could be a reality. But let's be real, it's going to be tough. But use our weakness, use our experience, use our ability to overcome, and our skills and our wisdom, and to push you. And it's been very, very fulfilling. Last time I had a session with 20 women, I think it was 2 weeks ago, just sharing personal stories and sharing challenges. And we were supposed to meet for 30 minutes. We stayed for 2 hours. And to me, it's just mission is accomplished. We almost want to buy them off and put them into the hands of all the youngsters that I meet. And that's where my pleasure is coming from. It's a way for me to contribute, to use my commodity, my time, and my resources, and to contribute to the well-being of my people. It could be immigrant, it could be women, it could be Africans, it could be diaspora, anybody who finds himself against the odds.
You know, somewhere in your book, you pretty much quote the late South African president, the Madiba, Nelson Mandela. You talk about how he said, it's always impossible until it's done. How significant is that really? Because it seems to me that when I was a kid, personally, it seems to me that everything, frankly, looked impossible.
Yeah, absolutely. When you're young, everything is possible. That's the power of the youth. At the same time, when you're Africans, when you're black, nothing is possible. We are,
and
for women,
impossible.
It's even worse, because little things like even eating good food. So you know, in African culture, sometimes when you eat chicken is the meal you eat for big celebration.
Mm.
Women cannot eat the gizzard. I don't know why. There's little things like that in our culture.
They have to eat beans. Or sometimes they may not, in fact, sit on the same table.
So, and so many things are impossible. So that statement looks very simple, but coming from Madiba means a lot, because he overcame the odds, number one. Number two, the biggest challenge, I always tell my mentee that we are war. we are constantly at war, and this war is even more relevant today because the continent is rising. The continent is rising almost like a sun, but this is just the beginning of the struggle. So, but we need to overcome our self-limitation. You need to defeat yourself. It's like you wake up in the morning, you have to convince yourself first before you go to bed that you have to wake up at 6 o'clock in the morning. Prepare yourself, motivate yourself, educate yourself. Nobody can do it for you, not even education. The degree does not necessarily guarantee your success. It's your wisdom, the way you address the challenge of life, and that will make a difference. So we have to work hard on among ourselves. And then also it's very relevant today because you know, we live in a microwave generation where everything's quick. The information are going out very quickly. Knowledge is out. So we need to contend our youth. We have almost 62% of the population. So it's almost like a sticking bomb. So how do you make sure that we channel that energy toward the positive? Now, the same thing is 10 years from now, 20 years from now, are we really going to say Africa was rising? People are forgetting that we have a labyrinth of regulations. We have a labyrinth of efforts that need to be made in place at the policy level. We have to think our own system. So how do we do this? For me, it's really, really challenging because it's almost Africa today. It's almost like, you know, you're a pregnant woman or you're pregnant, you're happy. But you have to carry the pregnancy and you have to deliver. The delivery process is very painful. That's what the impossibility is. So I'm just urging my colleagues, my leaguers, my all the stakeholders to really make sure that we educate our youth and train them and prepare them. And even our leaders, we need strong leadership, one, to understand the policy, to implement the policy, and make sure Africa goes to the right direction. In that case, it will be impossible until it's done. That means it needs action.
Pamela, there is a saying that Africans thrive in each other's diversity rather than celebrate one another. Do you agree with that, or have you heard about that? And if so, why?
You know, I've heard that before, and it's twofold because, again, I've also heard that Africans, we do better individually and collectively. We are not that strong. To a certain degree, it's true, and that's something that we have to overcome as a people. But I can also tell you that I have had a lot of support from Africans. So even though I do the Immigrant Magazine, and it's a magazine about a universal immigrant experience, regardless of where you're from, I've had immense support from my African brothers and sisters. I think our problem is leadership and lack of confidence in ourselves. When Africans start to believe in themselves, then collectively, we will not be threatened by one another. It's really, really bad when Africans, for example, limit themselves by not being resourceful to each other. If we would, you know, look at what someone has done well and appreciate and encourage them and see how we can add value to what they're doing, we would do much better. But when you have a situation where, as Africans, as people of African descent, and sometimes even black people, we hold back resources from one another. We don't take advantage of the opportunities that have been given to us. So I really think that, yes, to an extent, it's true. But again, I have to say, yes, I have had success because of support from my African brothers and sisters, but I think we could do better. It's a question of having that self-confidence and leveraging because we are very resourceful. I mean, there's no excuse why we should be where we are. Yes, our leadership in the continent is really questionable all across the board, mostly. But still, as individuals and as collective, as people in the diaspora, we should be able to get together and support one another, just like we're doing now, having this conversation. This is going to empower Angela and myself. It's going to empower our younger, you know, brothers and sisters back home and whoever is watching. So yes, that's true, but when you have people, leaders like Angel, yourself, Shaka, and others, that cannot be a broad blanket statement.
Terrific. You are tuned into Straight Talk Africa, and we'll have more of a discussion in a moment, including our social media segment. So please, don't go away.
Today's youth are not just the next generation of African leaders, they are today's leaders. And this is the time to invest in them, today, not tomorrow. So let's connect, let's engage with each other on issues that will transform our societies. innovation, leadership, entrepreneurship, things that you're doing to move the continent forward to make you the greatest generation that Africa has known.
It's Upfront every Wednesday, 17:30 UTC, right here on The Voice of America.
This is Straight Talk Africa on The Voice of America. Call us now with your questions and comments. The number is 202-619-3111 and the U.S. country code is 1. Call us direct and we'll call you right back. Remember to turn down the volume on your radio or television and keep your comments brief. Now back to Straight Talk Africa.
Thank you very much, Esther Gidiu Uwat, and of course, welcome back to Straight Talk Africa, live from Washington. It's time to bring in my colleague and social media reporter, Ayen Bior. Take it away, Ayen.
Thanks, Shaka. Against All Odds reveals the passion and determination needed to push back against the status quo. This leads us to our question of the week, which asks, what challenges are you facing as you strive to reach your life goals? Well, I'd like to thank all of you for using our social media platforms to communicate with us. And another reminder that we are tweeting live today. Use the hashtag VOA Against Odds. And if you haven't yet, please follow us at VOA Shaka. Now, let's go to a tweet from Otega Esemwede, who tweets, I want to see unity in Africa and among Africans. Hashtag Africa is the future. Well, thank you, Otega, for kicking us off on such a positive note. And next is our comment of the week from Facebook fan Mundubi Kabaso in Zambia, who writes, most of the youth in Africa lack the financial muscle to turn ideas into action. That is also negatively impacting emerging entrepreneurs to start and expand their businesses. Well, it's like they say, it takes money to make money. And with that in mind, let's go to another comment from Facebook fan Michael Tumiseme, who has a similar concern. He says it's difficult to borrow money due to the high interest rate and the denial of a grace period on agricultural loans. For example, a loan to grow maize should have a 3-month grace period before recovery begins. That's a very interesting perspective. Thank you for sharing. Our last Facebook comment comes from Michael Banda, who writes, salaries are not meeting the demands of our day-to-day cost of living. Our day-to-day cost of living needs, such as school fees, accommodations, and medical needs. Big chunks of money are given to expatriates rather than local employees. Very interesting, and thank you, everyone, for sharing your thoughts with us. And a reminder that we appreciate all the audience feedback. Please keep them coming. And if you're a new fan, drop us a line at africatv@voanews.com. Once again, our email address is africatv@voanews.com, or post your comment on our Facebook page. Enter the keywords Straight Talk Africa. Interact with our show as it's streaming live. And be sure to visit us online at voaafrica.com, or you can join our YouTube channel. Just sign up to VOA TV to Africa and follow us on Twitter at VOA Shaka. A reminder that the show is streaming live every Wednesday. Go to VOA Straight Talk Africa TV program page on our website, or simply watch us live on your mobile device. Just download the VOA mobile app. Now let's take a look at what's on tap for next week's program. On the next Straight Talk Africa, we'll discuss the Anglophone crisis in Cameroon. The nation's English-speaking minority regions say they are being politically and economically marginalized by the Francophone government. Cameroon politics, an in-depth discussion on the next Straight Talk Africa. Well, that's all for today's social media segment. Shaka, you and the guest have a lot of social media comments to discuss. Back to you.
Thank you very much, Ayen, of course, for sharing some social media comments with us. And welcome back to The Significance of Against All Odds, How to Stay on Top of the Game. Our guests are Angela Kwemo and Pamela Asobo Anchang, who joins us from our bureau in Los Angeles, the city of the angels. Well, ladies, I have to say once again that I'm profoundly honored and exceedingly humbled to have the opportunity to host the two of you in Straight Talk Africa.
Thank you very much, Shaka.
You're most welcome.
Thank you, Shaka.
You're most welcome, Pamela. What about what you just heard from Ayen? Any reaction?
Talking about leadership and access to capital.
Yes.
The biggest, everybody, access to capital, for example, has always been a challenge, regardless where you're from. The continent is even so a problem because you don't know how to calculate the risk. The banking system is not always responding to the request or to the need of the market because of many reasons. There's no credit bureau, credit rating. The legal system is not conducive to evaluate the collaterals, and that's another reality. But you also, one thing I found out with my involvement with Tony Olumide Foundation Entrepreneurship Program is the fact that the biggest skills that young entrepreneurs need to have before even having access to financing is leadership skills.
Leadership skills.
They need to have a vision. They really need to have be able to understand the project, believe in it, and be ready to go against the odds. Because you know, the one thing that you need to know when you go into business in anything, that's resiliency. Things will always get tough at some point.
That reminds me, in fact, somewhere in your book, you talk about leadership, and you say, for example, that a great leader is an ordinary person with extraordinary wisdom.
Absolutely.
What did you mean by that?
No, extraordinary wisdom. Wisdom comes from the experience, the ability to learn from situation, the ability to respond to the challenge of the life. It's not, you don't learn that in school.
Mm-hmm.
You have people who have PhDs but who cannot survive in a certain environment. You have, you know, in Africa, for example, I always joke when people are saying that the African diaspora can bring a solution to the continent, which is no, we have knowledge, we have international exposure, we have access to certain resources. But you know, the reality is that people that are really making Africa rise are Africans on the ground, because they have a different type of wisdom that help them overcome the challenge. Because there's no rule in Africa. It's easier to do business in America because you know what, you know, you have your checklist you have to fulfill. In Africa, the impossible is possible, the possible is impossible. Survival in that environment shows a great deal of resiliency, courage, and tough skin and wisdom. And that's the knowledge I'm putting into all those experiences. And that makes a big difference.
You're pretty much making the difference, frankly, between what is called intelligence and wisdom.
Yes, it is a big difference.
Is that, for example, why there are some people who say that it's not aptitude, mm-hmm. but attitude that gains altitude?
Absolutely, because intelligence it demonstrates your ability to learn and accumulate knowledge and data and things. But emotional intelligence is one thing, attitude is one thing. How do you cope with situation? How do you combine diplomatic skills, resiliency, hard work, and determination?
You don't buy determination. Environmental conscience.
Yes, you don't buy determination. Nobody will give you, will equip you to face certain challenges. No, how many people fail?
Social skills.
You fail your way to success. If you don't, nobody can replace you with that. So that's the leadership skills is the key for your success. It's not even the advice I'm giving you is just my experience, hoping that people will gain from, you learn from others. But at the end of the day, it comes down to you, your vision, and your willingness to challenge the bees.
Very interesting. What about you, Pamela? What is your take on this?
You know, I listened to all the messages on the social media, and I was struck by something, and it's not something that we have not experienced. If you rely on the government to do things for you, especially in Africa, it's never going to happen. Mm-hmm. Success, really, like we said at the beginning of the show, is really having a vision and pursuing it against all odds, mm-hmm. like Angel's book says, because in the midst of all that chaos and all the depravity back home, there are success stories. In order to be successful, you have to be resourceful. Mm-hmm. You have to think about what is around you. Because when you are not resourceful, sometimes it's not the money you need. Sometimes it's having a good business plan. Sometimes it's being able to recognize opportunities and leverage. And more importantly, it's about persistence, changing your mindset and saying to yourself, I will make it regardless of my circumstance. When you have that mindset, then you find out that you begin to find those opportunities, doors begin to open for you. it doesn't happen overnight. I can say, yes, back home, maybe loans are difficult to come by and, you know, interest rates are skyrocketed. But let me tell you something. Immigrant Magazine has really not survived based on loans. It has survived out of pure purpose. Follow your purpose. And you follow your purpose and you are doing it and feeling fulfillment, you will stand out. And once you stand out, the resources will begin to come because you will be able to identify those resources. So it's really important that, yes, back home things are challenging, but we all come from there, and that's why we can speak on this topic. Say to yourself, what am I going to do? What is it that I must do? When you say it's something that you must do, regardless of rain or shine, you will find yourself accomplishing it. So we have to change the mindsets of the young people back home and anybody that just wants to be successful. Take advantages of what opportunities are shining. Sometimes you're passionate about something, but it may not be what will take you to the next level. So you need to find the vehicle that will take you to your ultimate destination. So in other words, what I'm saying is, be resourceful to yourself. Lack of resourcefulness is the worst thing that can happen to you. Find a resource. It could be in partnering with someone, in sharing your vision with someone, or in, you know, collaboration is very important. Collaborate with maybe institutions. Donate your time. Be a volunteer sometime somewhere. And before you know it, someone will notice you. You need to stand out. And you need to say to yourself, I am not going to be the normal. I'm not going to be the norm. I'm going to do this so well that nobody else can do it for me. I'm going to dominate. Even back home, that is possible. We are not where we are here in the United States because we are here in the United States. Trust me. These are millions and hundreds of millions of people, and you have to stand out in that crowd. How do you stand out in that crowd? So if you can find what it is that you love to do, because you cannot be successful if you're not passionate. If you have passion, it will fuel you, and you will not say no. You will find yourself driven. You have to have drive. You have to wake up every morning. Another thing is discipline. Sometimes we lack discipline. If we don't have discipline that propels us to greatness, we cannot succeed. When I left Cameroon because I was frustrated by the system. That is true. I was frustrated by the social structures. I was frustrated that I didn't have institutions that could make me realize my purpose. I told my parents that I wanted to leave Cameroon. They did not believe me. And I said to them, I will find a way. And I took it one day at a time. And because I believed in that dream, I believed in that vision that I had set for me. Listen, I didn't come from a family that said to me, hey, Pamela, we want to send you to the United States. I'm the oldest of six children. I'm speaking to any young girl or young man out there. I am the oldest of six children. My parents could not afford to send me to the United States. But I got up one day. I was in a call no matter superior. And I said, you know what? This is not doing it for me. I wasn't happy with the status quo. And so I decided to find a way. So while I was finding a way, I continued to pursue my education. So I never stopped. And so when the opportunity presented itself, I was more than ready. So you just be ready for that great success that's waiting for you.
It's very interesting that among other things, of course, Pamela refers to passion. And there is a saying that all of life is action and passion. And that to ignore the actions and passions of your time or your generation is to risk having not really lived at all.
Absolutely.
You agree with that?
100%.
And it's that other than that, you'd be occupying space?
Yeah, and that's why when people don't know, your surrounding does not understand the rationale of what you're trying to do, they call it passion. Because it's not rational, it's just, and then that energy will fuel you. It will help you overcome, work hard, and do what it takes against all odds, of course, you know, because sometimes you have to swim against the current. So when I came to Washington, it's almost the same story with Pamela. I just didn't want, I was not fulfilled, and nothing was working for me. And even though the environment was really, I was a successful young lawyer. I think I was the youngest executive lawyer in town. Mm-hmm. But I was not fulfilled. I want to have an impact on my generation. I want to do something meaningful. And that was not, I couldn't feel that. So, and then what triggers my departure was the fact that at some point I hit the glass ceiling and I was told that I would never do things I want to do. And instead of just, you know, sitting down and decide, okay, then let me just, you know, be complacent and then, you know, be happily married and, you know, travel every summer on vacation, let me just, you know, not taking into consideration those naysayers, and I'll go where you have the highest concentration of experts, where I can accumulate the maximum of knowledge.
You retreat. Washington. You retreat to reorganize.
Retreat to reorganize. Rethink, and then I was blessed enough to have those inner thinking. I was in my 20s now, early 30s. Uh-huh. And I came to Washington with a few dollars in my pocket and big dreams. Same thing, it was the beginning of another struggle. Because the environment will tell you are good to know. I'm sure Pamela will relate to that. You know, I was told that I should be a nurse because that was an easy job I can get, but I couldn't become a nurse because I can't stand the blood. I want to do trade, I want to do energy. And what now, the hell had this audacity of being not speaking English, because I'm not coming from the Anglophone speaking Cameroon, I'm coming from the Francophone, and I went to school in France.
And now
so I was not speaking English at all.
And now you are Angela Kwemo Esquire.
And I
we'll come back to that. A reminder that you're tuned into Straight Talk Africa. To participate in our discussion, please call us at 202-619-3111. Yes, country code is 1. We'll continue our discussion in a moment, so please, don't go away.
The lyrics could be French,
English,
Portuguese,
Bantu,
Arabic.
It is the beat,
the African beat that counts.
The beat does all the translations.
It cuts across all languages and gives us the understanding that this is the African beat.
It is so distinct
and adhesive.
It binds us together.
African beat on the Voice of America. For more information, visit our website at www.voanews.com/African Beat.
If you like today's show, please write and tell us what you think or give us some suggestions. Be sure to tell us what station you're tuned into. Our address, Straight Talk Africa, Voice of America, 330 Independence Avenue Southwest, Washington, D.C., 20237, USA. Or send us an email at africatv@voanews.com. Log on to our website at voaafrica.com. Or post your comments on Facebook, keywords Straight Talk Africa.
Thank you very much, Esther Githu Ewart, and of course, this is Straight Talk Africa, coming to you live from Washington. Pamela, among other things, you earlier touched on something very important, and that is vision, or someone would say the vision thing. What is the vision thing, really? Because there have been situations where someone or some people have suggested that they are the only ones, for example, in their own country or in their country who have the vision thing. Is it possible that vision is something, frankly, that can discriminate against most people or majority of people, and can only be dominated by one individual? For example, take the example of the Cameroon, where from 1982, you have had one president, Paul Biya. Is it possible that he is the only person in the Cameroon who has the vision thing?
Oh my gosh, you know, that's a beautiful question, Shaka. The vision thing, let's put a pause on Cameroon for 1 second. Let's talk about vision. Vision is where you see yourself, is what you see about what you want to do in life. What do you want to change? What is it that you feel that you are uniquely placed to be able to make a difference in? And for me, I had the vision, for example, to be a voice for immigrants. And actually, my vision is not limited to being a voice for immigrants in America. It's to be a voice in general for people who need advocacy in something. But my vision will not be accomplished without me doing some work. You cannot accomplish vision when you don't have a plan, when you don't have a strategy. So now if we turn around to my country, Cameroon, which is going through this crisis right now, and you look at our president, in the past I've been really upset with sometimes my own Cameroonian brothers and sisters say, oh, nobody else can rule Cameroon but Paul Biya. And I get so pissed because I think I can rule Cameroon. Why not? Why don't we believe that we can have better? I think the only reason Paul Biya is president of Cameroon and has been there for so long is because maybe we Cameroonians have settled. You know, they say the people deserve their leader. Maybe we deserve him after all. But by the looks of things now, yeah.
Very interesting.
By the looks of things now.
Very interesting, by the looks of things now. Because, of course, there is a saying that no society No society gets the leadership it desires. Rather, you get what you deserve.
Absolutely. And if Cameroonians believe that that's what they deserve, then that's what they deserve. But I can see that people from southern Cameroon have said, no, we don't deserve this leader, and I'm really proud of them for standing up. Now, I need the people from East Cameroon to wake up and say, you know what, let's piggyback on what the southern Cameroonians are doing. Why do we have to settle for this? I am not settling. I don't believe in settling. You see something, you do something. Your brother's problem is your problem. Because you know what, if the United States, for example, doesn't take care of things that happen around the United States, before you know it, it will meet you right here in the United States. The same thing with Cameroon. So if you are in the La Republique, or East Cameroon as it's called, and you think that what is happening in southern Cameroon doesn't affect you, I have news for you, because you're not happy either. Why don't we team up and, you know what, ask for better for ourselves? I am an advocate, and my vision is that, you know what, I'm fighting for justice for everybody, regardless of the circumstance. So vision is not one person's thing. Vision can be a collective thing. What do we collectively want for Cameroon in general? And for you personally, what is your vision for your life? What's the vision we have for our children? What's the vision, even though I'm in the diaspora, what is the vision that I have for the youth of Cameroon? Not everybody can leave Cameroon. In fact, not everybody should leave the country and come to the United States. We can't all be everywhere. But guess what? Before you know it, we are all going to be out of Cameroon, and there's nobody in Cameroon. And what's going to happen? Other people are going to go to our country and enjoy that beautiful land. And Cameroon is a beautiful country, but it lacks leadership. Please, Cameroonians, we deserve better. What is our collective vision?
Very interesting. Of course, the country that has the distinction of being the organic origins of the Bantu migrations. Well, let's go to the lifeline of the show, which are the telephone callers. Abdul Kalim from the United Republic of Tanzania. Good evening. You're most welcome to Straight Talk Africa.
Good evening, Mr. Shaka.
I am terrific. How are you today, Abdul Kalim?
It's very fine here. My name is Abdul Kalim. I'm speaking from Karabu, Kabila, Tanzania.
I see. What is your question, sir?
Before I'm going to get to the question, first of all, I would like to congratulate both of them, especially Madam Pamela, who is a publisher of Migrant Magazine. I'm very, very interested in the history. You know, if you want to succeed, there's a lot of things you are going through.
Mm-hmm.
But my question, what I want to know from her, even though I don't have enough information about her magazine, but I want to know, this magazine is only giving me the publishing the information about the immigrants who are coming in America or dealing with all areas in the world. That's the first question.
Yes, please.
And
hello.
My second question.
Could you please say the question?
I said my second question. As African, as Madam Pamela is an African.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Let's go to Sampha from Sierra Leone. Safa from Sierra Leone, can you hear me?
Hello?
Hello?
Yeah, I'm hearing, sir.
Are you calling from Sierra Leone?
Yes, sir. I'm calling from Sierra Leone.
What is your question, my brother?
My question is, I just want to know more about Pamela.
I see. Thank you very much. Well, Pamela, it looks like you kind of like... resonated with at least some of those in the audience. Your reaction. Describe your magazine and how relevant it is and where and how people can access
it. Thank you. Absolutely. Well, thank you so much. I'm really happy that I can be an inspiration. Well, Immigrant Magazine actually is online. When we started the magazine, it was a print and it was circulated here in Los Angeles. But I realized that the stories that we share at Immigrant Magazine are stories that can inspire anyone anywhere in the world. And so the vision really has metamorphosed into not just being for immigrants in the United States, but I feel that the stories will resonate with anybody anywhere in the world. So you can go to immigrantmagazine.com. That's where we are. That's our website, and that's where we publish all our stories. And actually, we're in the process of developing television content where we're going to be able to tell these stories and be able to plug people in from all over the world, just like we're doing now, so that you can be a part of this conversation, because the purpose of Immigrant Magazine is really to inspire and to share that unique human experience. About me, I am from Cameroon, and I find myself uniquely placed to be able to tell Africans that, you know what, you can be anybody. You can do anything you want to do in life. Okay. Because if I didn't believe in myself, I would not be doing what I'm doing. So my advice is, even in the United States, Africans can rise and we can shine among the best.
Thank you very much. And indeed, of course, Against All Odds has pretty much the same message.
Absolutely.
Let me ask you this question. You cite, for example, Maya Angelou on the virtues of courage. Tell us more about that and why.
Yeah, because Maya Angelou, she's an icon, a woman, you know, who has a combination of power, poetry, art, and emotion, and then she's been a true inspiration.
A former Pan-Africanist, by the way, lived in the Ghanaian capital, Accra, lived in Egyptian capital, Cairo.
Absolutely, and I'm a Pan-African person. I identify myself more on all the African issues than even on my own Cameroonian issues as well. And the reason why I quoted her was because I want to showcase some icons in the African-American community that all Africans know, mm-hmm. that can easily relate to, especially on the emotional side. And then she was a rebel. She was against all odds. And she has a deep sense of courage. Great poet. And that's what I want to convey to the youngsters.
Great role model, inspirer.
Absolutely. And then on that note, I want to tell Pamela Anshaw, she decided to run. She has my vote.
She has my vote? And you
she can run Cameroon, so she has my vote.
Very interesting. Very interesting. Yeah.
Maybe you have been looking. Maybe the nature, you know, the nature is awaiting even that ardent desire to see the manifestation of these children, and that manifestation is embodied into Pamela Anshaw. So she should run for office in Cameroon.
Now, time is not our best ally, and I have one question for each of you. Please respond to it just like in 10 seconds. Any single most regrettable decision so far?
Not a single one. I don't regret anything, and I enjoy my struggles, and I learn from them. And I'm very thankful for even the opposition. I think my best partners, my best ally, are those who opposed me, who gave me, who didn't want me to pursue my path. So in that sense, I think my biggest, I will say, make sure you respect everybody around you, especially your enemies, because they are working full time for you.
Single most important decision in 10 seconds.
The decision to leave Cameroon. And I wouldn't have been able to learn what I've learned, accumulate that level of knowledge in the world if I've stayed in Cameroon.
Thank you very much. On that note, thanks to our two distinguished guests, Angela Kwemo and Pamela Asobo Achang, who joined us from our bureau in Los Angeles. Thanks to our affiliate stations, along with our viewers and listeners, we thank you for tuning in. For many of our Voice of America radio affiliates, Learning English is coming up next. And tomorrow morning, Today Break Africa with James Batte. On behalf of the Voice of America, thanks for tuning in to Straight Talk Africa. In the meantime, get better, not bitter, Africa. And please remember to keep the African hopes alive.